Welcome back, guys. TGS 204. A little hesitant, but Razor's Edge.
Sorry. Yeah, I have a couple of things I want to talk about.
Keep it clean.
Well, is there anything worse than you're sitting around, you're watching a movie, maybe you're with a family member, and a intimate scene comes on the television? It's such an awkward moment, right? Like, especially when you're a kid and you're watching a movie with your parents and it comes on and you're just like, doo-doo-doo, like, what am I supposed to do? Is it weird to fast forward? Is it weird to get up and walk out of the room? Like, what's going on?
Why are you watching dirty movies with your parents?
I'm not.
I meant to royal you. Like,
it's not, it's just like you put on a film and you forget that there's a sex scene.
Or you don't know because you've never seen it. Okay, this is a mom and dad movie. This happened to me a million times. Or, as often happened to me when I was in high school, my parents would have like a preternatural sense where they would walk in and go, "What you watching?" And then bam, right switch to some real heavy action.
Wow.
And it's like, this is
never had this happen.
I say that's not a normal movie, Andrew, but it's going there.
Well, I mean, you know, there's ratings on films.
That's
Yeah. So you're watching an R-rated movie and you've never seen it before. You don't know what's about to happen.
But it's making an excellent point.
And they're like, "Well, are you winning, son?" And then bam.
Yes, you are.
And it happens.
Well, I was.
This has happened to me, I don't know, 17 times in my life. It just keeps happening.
NC-17.
NC-17 times in my life.
Were you old enough to be watching the movies?
Yeah, or not, or whatever. You know, I mean, age is, you know, nothing but a number.
Yeah, I don't know.
This has happened, but it's not like a common thing. Like, I'm trying to think of... It's probably most common if you're like late high school, early college, like in your 20s, and maybe you're at home watching a movie and I don't know, something that you're like, your parents are watching a movie and you guys are like, "Hey, let's just watch this." And then like Andrew's describing, there's a scene in there that you didn't necessarily expect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little different now because a lot of things come with more reviews and more depth of detail now. In the 90s, if you'd see a movie, it's like, this is an adventure movie. And then all of a sudden you're like, "Wow, where'd that come from?"
Yeah. I have joked that, on IMDb, there's something called the Parents Guide. Parents can go and look at it and it sort of lists out what the inappropriate parts of the movie might be. And then you can decide if you want your kids to watch it. I have joked that that is the Parents Guide because it is our guide for watching movies with our parents.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can look and see whether or not there's anything that you wouldn't want to be in the same room with your parents with while it happens, if that would make you uncomfortable.
I'm realizing I never watched a movie with my parents.
Really?
No.
When I was a kid, it was all television shows.
But you didn't grow up in the like DVD streaming kind of era where it is very common to watch movies at home versus like going to a movie theater.
No, I'm happy for it because that watching something dirty with Jack and Francis would have... I'd definitely be killing nurses right now. So,
well, I got to thinking about this because I saw a opinion piece on USA Today written by Zach Wichter, and the title is "Rated R for Relax. It's okay to watch awkward scenes during a flight."
Wow.
So it's someone posing the question of like, okay, if you're watching, let's say you're watching the Sex and the City movie, it's right there in the title. You know, it's probably going to come up at some point.
I disagree with Mr. Wichter.
You think that you should keep it totally appropriate the whole time?
Yeah. I don't think that you should force someone sitting next to you or kids who are looking over the top of the back of your seat or something to see things that are inappropriate. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. The argument he makes is, well, this is the in-flight entertainment provided by the airline, so
it's
available.
Oh, is he going by the movies that are on the screen
in
front of you?
Well, that would make a difference.
Yeah.
Like if you download something that has something dirty in it, I'm surprised that airlines would have that kind of stuff.
I mean, they have first line movies. Like it might not even be like sex stuff. It could be violence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've watched regular movies on flights where it could be a shoot 'em up. It could be, you know, it's an old example, but a Silence of the Lambs kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting next to someone on a flight one time and they were watching House of Gucci, which I've never seen, but I could tell what the movie was because it was like Adam Driver and Lady Gaga. And there was a sex scene and they just kept putting their hand over the screen to like self-censor. And I'm like, you're actually drawing more attention to what's going
making
on.
Making it weirder for everybody.
Right. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, do you guys remember back in January? We might have talked about this on the show, but Elmo on Twitter, so yes, Elmo from Sesame Street, asked a seemingly innocent question, just threw it out there and said, Elmo is just checking in. How is everybody doing? Mm. Do you remember when this happened?
Yeah.
And everyone was like, I'm going to be honest with you, Elmo. I am hanging by a thread. Yeah. Like millions of responses like that. And people being like, I'm terrible. It's not going well. Well, I think most of those responses were probably a joke, but some of them were probably serious. And Sesame Workshop is a nonprofit behind Sesame Street, decided to undertake a survey project focusing on the state of well-being in America as a result of this viral tweet. Just because so many people had so many negative things to say, they thought, all right, we need to get a survey out there and see how people are actually feeling. So the majority of the participants in this poll that they conducted, there were about 2,000 members of the U.S. population ages 16 years and older. They say, participants found mental health nearly as important as economic stability, according to the findings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting. I feel like 30 years ago, if you would have posed that question to people, they would have been like, mental health? What are you talking about? Yeah. I want to make more
money. Oh, for sure.
I agree.
Yeah.
30 years ago, mental health meant mentally ill people.
Right. It meant, yes.
Yeah. Normal people didn't have mental health.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
There was no such thing as a mental health day, right? If you told somebody that, they would have been like, what are you talking about?
And if someone said, like, how's your mental health? You 100% would have been like, what?
I'm not crazy. That would have been your reaction. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been something that's really, in my lifetime, I've seen it happen. I've seen people become more open about talking about their struggles, and it's really, really cool.
Well, I'll be honest with you, even being me, and I think I'm pretty open guy, when I first heard someone was taking a mental health day, probably 7 years ago, I rolled my eyes. And now it's like, I'm not. That's fine. Mental health is just as real as physical health. For me, I've taken scant few physical sick days, less than 5 in 24 years, maybe far less than 5. And I've never taken off for a mental health day, but I should have. Like, I'm the kind of person who probably needs mental health days. So I've really evolved on that topic. But yeah, it's sort of like Barack Obama was against gay marriage in 2008. And when I first heard mental health day, I rolled my eyes and like snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've come a long way on that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's important to like there's nothing wrong about that being an initial reaction because it's new and it seems weird. It's something that you've never heard of before. And you're like, well, I never needed that. But then if somebody had told you, but you could do this and you could do it now or you could do it next week and it'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And then you evolve because you think about it.
It's one of the big reasons I don't have a fetish for telling my personal business on the air. It's been very intentional that I've talked about my mental health struggles and having suicide in my family and having suicidal ideations myself at low points is exactly this. Because I have witnessed the change in my era, I started saying my life, but that sounded like my personal life. I've clocked the changes in my eras of my life where saying mental health would have been meaningless to most people and would have been equated to mental illnesses, we just said, to rolling my eyes at mental health days, to openly talking about my own mental health struggles, because that's how you make progress. Now, at some point you get over your skis. You know, I mean, not every mental health day is the same. Some people just gold brick and, you know, fake it like I used to do when I was a kid in grade school. But yeah, that's why I do this, so that it just makes it easier for other people to say like, oh, yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool, Dave. And that plays into the survey that I'm talking about here, because 67% of those interviewed out of those 2,000 people say they wish their parents had been more honest about their own mental health struggles, including 79% of parents.
I didn't see my parents struggle. They were from the World War II generation, and I'm sure they had struggles between themselves. I'm sure they had struggles with life. I'm sure they had financial struggles and worries, but I never saw it. They completely kept it all away from me, which in a way was a gift, but in another way was not. Because when I started having all of the above struggles, I thought there was something really wrong with me.
Right.
Because my parents were just so amazingly normal and strong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's how they were raised, right? Because it was the same way for them and the same way before that and the same way before that, that parents were not going to show weakness to, I mean, alleged weakness, yeah. right? You were not going to show your kids anything you didn't want them to see because it was all about sheltering them, protecting them, but also, and I think, in a way, protecting yourself, too.
And to a degree, I think that's still good.
To a degree.
Yeah, I think that kids need to feel like the wheels are not going to come off.
Right.
And if every morning you start breakfast with daddy's having another mental health day, maybe not the best thing for your kids, but, you know.
No, but it's good for them to know what you're talking about, which is it's okay sometimes if you're not okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're weird. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
It just happens.
Two more points here from the survey that I want to hit on here. A majority of Gen Z and millennials, as well as 71% of the educators that were surveyed, said that they believe schools should focus on social and emotional skills just as much as academics. What do you guys think about that?
I think they're important.
Yeah. I think we have it wrong with education. I think that there should be less focus on, this is going to make me sound really dumb. I think we should stop teaching every kid algebra. I think algebra made me feel stupid, and it made me think I was stupid when I was not. I had a hard time with math, but I excelled in other areas. But those areas were not any, those were soft sciences. The fact that I could read quickly and had good reading comprehension and did well in English and speech class and things like that was completely unappreciated and ignored when I was in school. It didn't matter. It only mattered if you were good in math, if you were in the algebra club or the calculus club. And I think that we leave a lot of people behind by doing that. I think we just focus on the wrong things. 95%+ of us are never going to need algebra. It's fine to introduce it to kids, but like quit forcing us to learn things and judging us on learning things that we're probably never going to use. And start rewarding the fact that I ended up where I did, doing what I'm good at, which is this, which is a soft science. This is not mathematics. It couldn't be softer. Just shows that you should reward kids for that stuff too.
I'm mixed because I do think we do things incorrectly, and we've been just doing the same things because they're the same things, as opposed to looking at, we should be teaching critical thinking. We should be teaching how to monitor yourself on the internet, how to be able to tell reality from BS.
Mm-hmm.
We should be doing more on finances. We should be doing more on economic policy. We should, and I mean, that's more older, right? That's more high school aged, right? They're not going to do that in fifth grade. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. So I think there are things we're doing wrong, but I also think there's value in doing something you think is hard.
Yeah,
and trying to get something out of it, even if it's just a C. And I think the problem becomes where you're talking about, Dave, is there are too many judgments formed by that.
Yeah.
Right. And there are too many things that can do to your academic record.
Yeah.
And we need to give more weight to more things as opposed to most weight to three things.
Well, for example, I took the ACT cold. I didn't even know we were having it. I just showed up on a Saturday and I filled in some dots. And my reading comprehension and social stuff were over 30.
Mm-hmm.
My math and science were under 20. And so it ended up being enough to get me in college, but it didn't set the world on fire. And I think it should be the kind of thing that if what you want to do is something soft and your math and science is low, but your others are over 30, you should get scholarships.
This is what I'm talking. Yes, this is what I mean. We should have it. It should be more balanced in how it's treated.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't great at math. I had to work hard to get grades in math. I didn't have to work hard to get grades in English or those other things. But I think there was value in struggling to keep up with that. Otherwise, I would have thought everything should be easy. But I wasn't going to study science in college.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be an architect. I wasn't going to be into computer science. I was going into broadcasting. I was going into journalism. I didn't need any of that stuff. So the standards for that, and I understand to a degree where colleges are like, well, sometimes people change majors and you don't really know. All right, but let's not worry about that. Because most people are going to study something that they want to pursue for a career. And if it's not related to science, you shouldn't have to have science scores to justify getting in.
Yep. 24 on DGS. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening every day. I never tell you guys that, which is stupid because it's my way I pay for KU. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Thank you for 6 million downloads since we've been on KMOX. Thanks for everything. Thanks for all the support you've given me recently. Wheels is Man a Buddhist?
Well, just this one guy.
Okay.
This one Buddhist monk thinks he's making, this is longer than I pulled out there, but this is a short clip. He thinks he's making a really important point about how we are and what's important to us, and I think it sounds dumb.
If eating ice cream is the answer to wanting ice cream, by this point, you should have cured that illness. How many times over? Don't you still want ice cream? It's not the body that wants ice cream. It's the mind that asks for it. But here's the funny thing. The mind wants ice cream. How many spoonfuls of ice cream have you actually fed the mind so far? Is it the tongue that wants ice cream? The tongue? No. Your mouth? Your body? No. It's your mind that wants ice cream. Which part of the digestive system is the mind attached to? None. So every time you eat ice cream, how is the mind fed? It's the mind who asks for it, but the mind doesn't get it. Therefore, the mind can never be satisfied.
I hate that so much. It makes no sense. Well, first of all, your mind is attached to your digestive system. Your brain literally runs your body.
I don't think this is for you.
This idea that, like, okay, so you had ice cream, so now you should never want it again because you're cured of this illness because you gave your mind what it wanted in that moment. It's nonsense.
Kevin has reached a different sort of
that's nonsense.
Yeah, nirvana.
How does that make any sense?
I think what he's saying is if you could satisfy your mind by eating the ice cream, it would have worked by now. But since you have these ice cream cravings over and over again, there's something deeper inside you. There's something emotional calling for you to turn you'll never, to.
Or the ice cream is just good and your body likes the taste of it.
Fill your wanting bucket, I think is what he's trying to say.
Yes, yes,
yes, I understand that. But this is a much longer thing. And you're making a point to me that is A, brutally obvious. Right? Like if you have something that's lacking in your life, you're not going to make up with it with some other trivial thing. But this analogy is ridiculous. The analogy does not make any sense.
Bodhisattva Wheeler, what is your teaching?
If you're hungry,
eat the freaking ice cream.
If you're hungry and you eat, your soul is not eating. What does that even mean? Your body needs food, man.
I'm just like picturing Wheels going on like a Buddhist retreat.
I know,
like,
I hate this stuff. No, it's stupid. This is a terrible analogy.
Who's that fat guy? Tell him to put on a shirt.
It's a physical thing that you can have a physical craving for, but it's not helping your spirit.
I bet they would love the mocking voices.
And then you say it with that tone. That tone, like, I'm smarter than you. There's never a lot of
time to meet you. Welcome back, guys. DGS 233. We have Mike Krakowski and Rick Metzing here. We know Mike from being Queen of All Saints, who competes in DGS Catholic Fish Smackdown, and Rick is the owner of Bar Down Sports Bar. Talking about the 7th annual Tapped and Uncorked STL, a tasting event is going to be on October 5th. Man, it's going to be nice weather on October 5th. I mean, it's not going to be this crap, right?
Gonna be like
you can't
75.
Look at, you can't even talk.
I'm sorry.
We're both eating.
The
I'm
mac
sorry.
And cheese is
for
so good, man.
For the love of God, just leave the host hanging.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, October 5th will be great.
You're having a rough day on the show today.
Am I?
Going off on Buddhists and eating while we're trying
it.
To do a segment here?
He deserved it. By the way, my spirit and my body are being nourished by this mac and cheese.
Jeez. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you for having us.
And Rick, nice to meet you. Tell us about the Bar Down Sports Bar.
Yeah, so Bar Down Sports Bar has been open since January 19th of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Our concept is family-friendly atmosphere. It is a hockey bar, but we welcome football, baseball, all avenues of sports, right?
Yeah.
We approximately have about 160 seats with 29 TVs. We do catering, team events, sporting events, and we're pairing up with Tapped and Uncorked this year for the first time. So we're excited.
Have you been in this business for a long time, or is this your first venture into it?
So I've been in the business for about 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first time owning a restaurant.
Yeah.
I've been successful with, I've worked at Pasta House, Tucker's, Helen Fitzgerald. So
good resume.
I got some background there.
How is it owning?
Great. I love it.
Yeah.
Yep. For me, the one-on-one communication with the customers and the interaction, just seeing them enjoy what we put out is
that's
great.
What everyone says. It's one of those things. I have so many friends in the music business. I have so many friends in this business, obviously, and in the restaurant business. And the good ones in the restaurant business, even if they are old guys like me, they'll say the same thing. It never gets old watching people enjoy what you do.
Yep.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Like I said, we're a family environment. We also have nightlife, so we have live entertainment 2 to 3 times a month, too. So if you're looking for somewhere to go to catch some live music and have a drink and some great food, stop by and see us.
And where are you located?
We are at 11133 Lindberg Business Court. That's St. Louis, Missouri, 63123. We're actually upstairs in the All-American Sports Complex, so we're surrounded by hockey.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Excited about the season coming up?
I am.
Any reason to be especially excited this year, Wheels?
Not especially, but I think they're going to be better than last year. I mean, to me, snagging a couple players on the restricted free agent wire, so you're stealing a little bit from Edmonton. But mostly what you did there with the two new guys is add some speed, add some youth, guys that can play probably second, third pair defensively, probably third line. But some things that they were lacking in depth and maybe some youth and some speed. These guys are both former first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
So that combined with, you know, seeing how Jake Neighbors does with another year of development, some of the other young guys.
We need an exciting season.
You know what? It's going to be probably similar to last year, but I'm hoping a little more upside at the end. Like second half, maybe pushing yourself into that bottom part of the playoff run.
Yeah. You need, for the Cardinals and the Blues and City SC, you need people like me who are casual fans, who don't live and die and read the box scores, go to 2 or 3 games a year, have some nachos and beer. You need to get those. And the way you get people like me is you have something exciting happen, like going to the playoffs or going to the cup, because you're always going to have guys like Mike, right? I mean, so.
You got me forever, yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm watching every night.
Just don't ask him to talk about Buddhism.
No.
So Mike, tell us about the event itself.
Yes, it's the 7th annual. It's basically a food, beer, wine, and other various adult drinks. It is a 21 and up event only.
Mm-hmm.
October 5th, the tickets currently, we have a special going on right now, an early bird special of $35. If you go to our site at the Tapped and Uncorked STL, you'll get sent over to the Eventbrite site. And this event is not really a fundraiser. A lot of people say, oh, it's really designed to bring our sponsors, our food partners, our beer partners to get in front of customers and let them try their products.
Yeah.
And what we've done with our event is when you purchase a ticket online, concert ticket, you say it's $35. When you get down to the cash out section, it's not $35 anymore, is it? Our tickets are out the door. That's $35. That price is good till the 13th of September. We absorb all the credit card fees, all the ticketing fees, all of that. If you're not a drinker or you want to be the responsible party in your group, we do have a Coca-Cola designated driver ticket for $15.
Nice.
Smart. And again, that's $15. Once you purchase your tickets, you have nothing else that you're going to need to purchase. We don't do 50-50s. We don't do baskets. We don't do any of that. You're coming to enjoy. Yeah, it's really it's to promote these businesses and get them in front of the customers. And just like you got to taste some of Rick's delicious food, we want to get some business generated for him, too.
So when you walk in the event, kind of paint a picture. Is it just like a whole bunch of booths set up and you just go wherever you want to go?
So we got a 100-foot by 60-foot tent. Kind of looks like a circus tent. That's where all the food is going to be under. And then we'll have what we call tasting stations. So there'll be the beer and wine tasting stations that will be kind of around a courtyard. We also have a live band. The Z-Band will be there playing. We will have also, which is always an interesting and fun thing to see, is a Stein holding contest. And we always have some pretty good prizes with that too. So
very nice. Very nice. What are some of your favorite things on your menu?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Right now,
it's good. Right now, some of our top sellers, we just brought out a new menu with some new items on the menu. So right now, we have our hot honey, chicken sandwich. You can get that wrapped or fried or grilled. We also have our barbecue pulled pork mac and cheese. Sorry, I didn't make that.
All right.
But you're going to come down.
That's all right. I'll come out and try it.
There you go. Pizza's a big hit. Our chicken wings are huge. They're the jumbo chicken wings. You get 10 in an order. All around, those are probably our top best sellers. But we have, I think we probably have about 45 items on the menu.
What advice do you have for people like me who were not in the restaurant business but always wanted to open a restaurant? Because it happens all the time. Like, we have George Mahey from St. Louis Magazine on every Friday, and he talks a lot about openings and closings, and guys like me who put a couple of nickels together and like, I want a barbecue joint. I want a fried chicken place. Like, it's not nearly as easy as what guys like you make it seem.
Right. Obviously, one, for me, I was in the business for 28 years. Number two, your demographics. What is everybody asking for? What do people want? Sporting events, they're never going to go away. St. Louis is a huge Blues fan club. I mean, it's huge. Cardinals, I'm a diehard Cardinals fan myself, too. They're just having a rough year right now.
Yeah.
As you can see, they just got done playing the Padres, and it didn't work out so well for them. So.
Yeah. Got to drown your sorrow somewhere.
Yeah. Man.
But good idea.
If you're really
sometimes beer does help.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're really looking to get into the industry, I would definitely, for myself, I started in the kitchen. I was a kitchen manager for, a number of years. I washed dishes. I prep cooked. I bartended. I've been a senior manager. So I've kind of done all those aspects. So I really get what's involved. And
yeah.
I really get what you guys want, right? You want good food. You want good service, and you want a good atmosphere. And that's what Bar Down brings.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. Everything's pretty simple if you just dedicate yourself, right?
Yep.
I mean, it really is. So when you start cutting corners and you start blaming your customers, whether you do what you do or you do what I do, that things really go south.
Yeah, we use Kuna for all of our food.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that I told Kuna when we sat down is I said, I want great food. I don't want to cut prices. I don't want to cut costs. I want the best food we can get, and they were 100% by me on that, and
yeah.
that's what we do.
So the event is Saturday, October 5th at Queen of All Saints, and is there a website to go to?
Yep, it's tappedinandcorkedstl.com, and you can. There's also an Eventbrite site that'll let you go to purchase the tickets.
Yeah,
and it's got all the information. We're updating it as we get the food partners and the beer and wine partners. So we'll try to get everything up there so you'll kind of have an idea what's going to be there.
Cool. Well, good luck, and thanks for coming in. We appreciate it. Good
Thank
to see you.
Thank you.
248 DGS. Question. So most of us know this story now that the former Chipotle CEO, some stud 35-year-old wizard, has been hired by Starbucks to be their CEO. Starbucks is very environmentally friendly and paper straws and all that kinds of stuff. And they told this guy who lives 1,000 miles away, you don't even have to relocate. We're going to send a private jet for you 3 times a week. And so people are really going off on Starbucks, and you guys are such hypocrites. I'm never going to get a cafe latte again. Is this just one more thing that in 2024 we are being outed on, that we lack the courage of our convictions, that people who are very Christian and very moral, who support Donald Trump, and they just find a way to twist themselves with pretzel logic that it's okay? Is it the same thing here? Are we just going to get pissed and then go back and get whatever we want from Starbucks and we don't really care? We just like complaining.
Yes. We like to be mad, but we don't want to do anything that inconveniences us.
Yeah.
So we have this conversation all the time with sports fans. Why doesn't anybody hold the team accountable? Well, no, you're the only one that can. It's your choices. Don't watch. Don't pay money. That's how you send your message. If you don't like what a company is doing, don't watch. Don't spend your money on them. And also, like this thing in particular, you're going to tell me that your second choice isn't good enough for you to say, if you don't want to move here for this $114 million job, then you don't get the job?
Yeah.
Like, right. What are you doing? It's not Juan Soto. It's not Aaron Judge. It's not Wayne Gretzky. It's not the only person on earth that can do that job, right? Like, you don't have a second choice where you're like, maybe this second choice who is willing to move here and be present and be in our community and all of that.
Does it make you disappointed in Starbucks, though? The fact that they have sold their brand to being the opposite of this?
It doesn't make me disappointed because I didn't necessarily hold them to any kind of standard before
this.
Didn't
believe them?
I wasn't pinning my hopes and dreams on Starbucks.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I can't have a straw when I come get my iced coffee, but this guy can fly in on a private jet 3 times a week. I mean, go ahead, Andrew.
No, I was just going to say there's a lot of, I feel like now with, our brands and corporations, there's the same kind of like separating the art from the artist that we've always dealt with like musicians. Like, boy, he had a lot of songs about sleeping with 15-year-olds, but they're toe tappers, you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. We're in that same kind of a situation now in culture with our brands where it's like...
Yeah, that's a good point.
Boy, yep. I love Starbucks, and that's like the best part of my day is when I go through Starbucks in the morning and I get that treat. They're not doing a lot of great stuff. They're doing a lot of, you know, union busting and you know, bad stuff for the environment and bad stuff to their employees and all this stuff. So I feel like that's the new layer of like separating the art from the artist is being like, am I still okay with, you know, it started with like Chick-fil-A. Am I still okay with going to Chick-fil-A and having that amazing food even though they like, as a company stance, they, you know, don't like gay people.
I'm a little risen. I'm with Wheels though. Like this is the only solution to your problems is to get this guy to fly out three times
that
a week.
That bothers me more.
Like, there's probably 1,000 people who could do this job.
That part bothers me more than the
being hypocritical
conflict of interest and all that. I don't mind. Like if this was a Taco Bell thing, I'd still go to Taco Bell if I wanted it in the moment. So, I mean, I'm not pointing fingers at other people saying we won't do this. I'm just saying that we and all of us, we're all kind of the same. If I don't like something about Amazon, I still use Amazon. I don't like how Jeff Bezos does things. I don't like how how they treat their employees, but I still use the service. We are all like that to a degree. And it's just a matter of whether or not you make a lot of noise about it. What bothers me about this is this nonsense about, you know, well, we're going to make all these special exceptions for this particular guy because the next two or three people that we would have talked to can't possibly do for us what he's going to do. So we don't need him to move. You're paying somebody $114 million. They can move to where your headquarters are. Mm-hmm. And if they don't want to, hire someone else. Right?
Yeah. Pretty simple.
It's not. This isn't like Taylor Swift, who is unique and is the only Taylor Swift.
And who also takes a private jet everywhere.
Yeah.
Pinocchio has joined the ranks of Winnie the Pooh. It's now public domain.
Oh, wow.
When's the horror movie coming out?
It's coming out in about a month.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even know there was one.
It's called Pinocchio Unstrung.
Oh, no. Is it the same people that did the Winnie the Pooh thing?
No new people, but he becomes unstrung, goes on a killing spree.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Think he kills his dad.
Oh,
I don't understand. I mean, I guess I do because it's going to get attention. I don't get it. I don't get.
I think Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey did okay.
Did it?
Yeah. I mean, I think they made money on it.
I know some people like things just because the irony is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, childhood.
If you've ever seen the original Pinocchio, good luck making a scarier movie than that.
The whole thing's pretty creepy.
Oh,
yeah.
It's horrific. When they turn into donkeys, man, oh, man. Everything about that. Disney.
Wait, they turn into donkeys?
The bad boys, when they go to that island.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that.
I haven't watched that movie in a long time.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid, my grandma had that on VHS, and I remember having anxiety about watching it.
Oh, it's terrible. Disney in general was, at least, I don't watch much anymore, but was very dark. I mean,
every one of them, their parents died.
Like in the first scene.
Yeah.
Never forget in Tarzan when like the very first scene a ship goes down, and you're like, well, they're dead.
Yep.
They didn't even play around with it.
Nope.
And what's funny is that a lot of those are cleaned up from the, you know, sort of Hans Christian Andersen versions.
Like oh, Little
Mermaid
yeah.
And, you know, Ice Princess.
Not just fairy tales. What's the other?
Grimm?
Nerm. Yeah, but I mean, like the. Whatever the children, like the all like the children's table? Stories are super dark when you go into the old score, the old versions of them, brutally dark.
Yeah, they're probably trying to save them from something darker.
And the nursery rhymes too, right? Like you hear all these nursery rhymes, like "Ring Around the Rosie" is about the plague.
Yeah,
like you're sitting here, like kids are dancing and it's happy, and like not really.
Yeah. I sensed that there was something wrong with "Ring Around the Rosie." Like, even when I was doing it, I'm just like, first of all, these words make no sense.
Yeah.
In this order,
posy.
Yeah.
Yep. Ashes, we all fall down.
Yep. I never got any of it. Never thought anything weird about it.
I was freaked out by "Now I lay me down to sleep." I had to say that every night. My mom, I didn't say the Lord's Prayer, and "Now I lay me down to sleep." Mm-hmm. Prayed the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to
and
take.
You're like, wait, that's possible?
Yeah. No, for real. I'm like, I am 8 years old.
I get that.
What am I going to die of before morning?
Right. Like, what's going
to
happen?
What is there such a chance I'm going to die of that I'm praying to God to take my soul?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My cousin had a doll that would pray that in a very creepy way. And one time I was spending the night and the doll kept praying over and over again all night long. Oh, it was so scary.
No, thank you. No, thank you.
Throw that outside.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.